פרק ל"ז, פסיק, we start from פרק פסיק י"ב, quickly, the first few psukim we learned already.
Watch that.
וישב. ל"ז, פסיק י"ב. שני, in פרשת וישב.
202.
Page 202. Okay, before we learned a little bit the first two psukim, but we'll just to get into the thing. Basically, Yosef had dreams. The brothers hated him. The brothers got jealous. He kept telling over the dreams in front of the father. And his father finally said to him, how do you expect your dreams to happen if your mother passed away already? How do you think the sun and the moon are going to come bow to you? And so on. So the pasuk says, Vayechol Elchav, the brothers went, Lireis, to pasture a Sein Avi in Bishchem, the sheep of their father in Shchem. Like we were last time, they went really to graze themselves, Rashi says, you know, to take care of themselves. Okay, Vayemi Yisrael, so let's learn this last time. Vayemi Yisrael, Yosef, so Yaakov Yisrael said to Yosef, Halei Achecha Reim Bishchem, and your brothers behold are pasturing in Shchem, L'chov Eshlochacha Aleihem, let me go send you to see how they're doing. And Yosef answered him back, Hineini, here I am, I'm ready. Now, why did Yaakov worry about the brothers that he has to all of a sudden send Yosef? Not the first time the brothers were away from home. But the answer is, because they're in a dangerous city called Shechem. Now Shechem was a city that Shimon and Levi killed out all the inhabitants of the city. Right, like we learned before. And therefore Yaakov was afraid perhaps there'll be retaliation from the people of Shechem, the neighboring areas, to the brothers. So even though the brothers weren't afraid, that's why they went there, page 201, the brothers were not afraid, but Yaakov as a father was concerned. So he says to Yosef, he says, it's dangerous over there, I want you to check it out. I want to go see how they're doing. Now, as the Mefarshim explained, Yaakov obviously never even thought that the brothers are going to do something dangerous to Yosef. I mean, or else he wouldn't have sent them, obviously. Nevertheless, Yosef said, Hineini. Yosef already knew, okay, even though Yosef knew that the brothers hated him, nevertheless, Yosef was ready to sacrifice himself. If his father told him to do something, he said, I'm ready to do it. He could have said to the father, listen, the brothers hate me, I'm afraid to go, whatever it is, so on and so forth. Yosef said he was obediently ready to go. Okay, in fact, he quotes the Medrash that the Medrash says that Yaakov always remembered these words. And he said, when I told you to go, even though you knew it was dangerous, he said, Hineini, I'm ready to do it anyway. Another interpretation over here that Adak says, that Yosef thought that the brothers are not going to do anything to him out of respect to the father. After all, look, Esav didn't even kill Yaakov out of respect for Yitzchak. So Yosef thought that the brothers are not going to do anything to me, because, you know, they're not going to want to hurt Yaakov. Okay, so basically, though, the bottom line is that he said, Hineini, here I am. Now, another thing the Mefarshim say, okay, next passage. Vayem Elay, and Yaakov said to him, Lechnorei, please go and see, Ashleim Achecha, the peace of your brother, Ashleim Atzein, and the peace of the sheep. I want you to go see how your brothers are doing, how the sheep are doing. There's another interesting thing over here. You know, how did the sheep get into the story? It says, he quotes in the Medrash, the Medrash says, not only should somebody inquire about the welfare of people, but they should also inquire about anything that they end up benefiting from. The fact was, Yaakov made a living from the sheep. So you're supposed to ask, not only how the brothers are doing, but also how the sheep are doing. And like he says, he brings out another medrash that says, the sheep gave him wool. The sheep gave him milk. The sheep gave him all the necessities. So you have to daven for that welfare too, of the things that are going to be helping you. Now, the Mefarshim explain, number one, there's an interesting Gemara they bring down in Chulin. Some people learn from this Gemara, from this Pasuk. Yaakov Avinu said to him, Lech na re'ei, I want you to go see. What's this expression, I want you to go see? From here, the Gemara learns out a scholar is not allowed to go out alone at night. There is such a din in Shulchan Aruch. A scholar should not walk alone at night. And you see it from this Pasuk. Yaakov said to Yosef, I want you to go see how your brothers are doing. Meaning, when should you go? During the day. You shouldn't go at night. Because at night he didn't want Yosef to go alone. Now, Yaakov Avinu basically the Sipur asks an interesting question to get the explanation of this. He said, if Yaakov wanted to find out how his children are doing, why couldn't he send one of his servants? He has to send Yosef. Send a servant, see how they're doing. They're okay, fine, come home and give me a report. So obviously Yaakov Avinu is saying to Yosef more than that. Lech Nora'ei. Lech Nora'ei means I want you really to go understand. Re'ei is not only to see, but just to see, he could have sent a servant. Lech Nora'ei means to see an intellectual evaluation. Do they need it? Improvement? Does anything? Do they need to be taken care of? Do the animals need to be taken care of better? I want you to go check it out. What?
Real quick. I've always wanted to know, were Yaakov's servants Jewish or not?
No. How many Jews were there? The only Jews in that time was the Avraham and his kids, Yitzchak and his kids, and Yaakov and the kids. That's it.
Thank you.
Now, the Al-Sheikh, the Rechaim, a lot of the commentators explain over here. Why? What did he tell him? He said as follows, I want you to go see Vashiveni Dovah. I want you to come back and give me a report. Why did Yaakov Avinu? It's understood. What did he want? Just to go see. Go see and not come back. Why is Yaakov telling him to go and to come back? So he says, because there's a rule, Shaliach Mitzvah. Shaluche Mitzvah means, when you send a message, you know when people go on a trip, you give them a dollar to give into the pushka. Why do people give somebody money to put into a pushka? So because then they become what's called a shliach mitzvah. A shliach mitzvah means, if I send you to do a mitzvah, the Gemara says, shluchim mitzvah eina nizakim. Shluchim mitzvah, because they're going on a mitzvah, never get hurt. So, it's if somebody's going on a trip, and you give them a dollar to put in the pushka over there, so you're making them a messenger to do a mitzvah, so hopefully he's not going to be here. And but the Gemara says, in a place where it's dangerous, it doesn't help. You can send the guy into the war and say, here's a dollar. Because if it's dangerous, as the Gemara uses the expression, if it's shchicha hezeka, if it's common to be hurt, it's not going to help. But Yaakov Avinu wants to make Yosef a shliach mitzvah. But he wants to make him a shliach mitzvah both ways. Even though the Gemara says, a shliach mitzvah not hurt, not going and not coming, but he wanted to make him a shliach directly both ways. So he said, I want you to go see, which is mitzvah kibud av ha'im, honoring his father. And then he says, I want you to come back with the report. So he made him a shliach for a mitzvah to come back. So the question is, so but Yosef was hurt. It didn't work. So the answer, the truth is, Yosef wasn't hurt. Okay? It doesn't. Number one, Yosef physically was not hurt. Ain't in the Zucker means they don't get hurt. The bottom line is he was sold, right? He became a king. Physically, he wasn't hurt.
He suffered.
Oh, so the Gemara says, but why did he? The first thing about, but he suffered. So that's, we go back to the other thing. In a place where it's common danger, the shliach mitzvah thing doesn't help that much. Now, what does it mean? It doesn't help that much. Shechem was a place, as we know, Muchem Leperonius. A lot of problems happened in Shechem. Shimon Dina was raped. Shimon Levi killed out of the city. Yosef was sold from Shechem. In fact, the Gemara says, Rashi quotes in Chumash, Yosef's burial place is in Shechem. He says, why is Yosef buried in Shechem? Because the din is, when you steal something, you have to put it back where you stole it from. The brothers kidnapped Yosef from Shechem. So when you steal it, you got to bring it back to Shechem. But he dies, so you have to bury him in Shechem. That's why Yosef is buried in Shechem, basically. So therefore, it's, and the Mefarshim say, the fact that as unusual danger, that's one thing. Well, one thing. And then there's another issue over here that the Ora Chaim says. And that is, Yaakov Avinu said to Yosef, your brothers are in Shechem. Go to Shechem. No, he sent them from Shechem. He sent them to Shechem. Right? Now, when Yosef came to Shechem, the brothers weren't there. So they moved on to a different city. But Yaakov didn't send them to the other city. Yaakov Avinu sent them to Shechem. So therefore, he's not a shliach mitzvah anymore.
And he wasn't stealing from Shechem.
Huh?
And he wasn't stealing from Shechem.
But the problem started from Shechem. You're right, but the problem is it started from Shechem. First, there's an interesting halacha for marriage. If I say to a shliach, if I want a shliach to give a woman a ring for me, kedushin ring, and I say to the shliach, I want you to do kedusha with this lady, she's in Chicago, and the shliach goes to Chicago, she's not there, she went to New York. So the shliach goes to New York and gives the woman a ring to do kedushin for the first guy. It's not valid, because he said, I want you to do kedushin for the woman in Chicago. Now you went further to New York, you're not my shliach anymore, because I sent you as a messenger to Chicago, not to New York. What happens, one second, what happens though, if the guy says to him, he doesn't say, I want you to do the kedushin in Chicago. The guy says to him, so to speak, I want you to go do kedushin with this woman, and she's probably, or something like that, in Chicago. Then, you didn't specify only Chicago. So then wherever you find her, it's valid. So the Mefarshim learn over here, Yaakov sent him to Shechem. As we'll soon learn, he came to Shechem, the brothers left already. If the brother left and he continued past Shechem, so he lost the status of a shliach already. So he's not a shliach mitzvah anymore, so therefore the damage happened to him. What? No? If he gives him permission and it's legal through the telephone, yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
The daughter of my friend, that she went to help the poor people, give them food and the way back was a terrorist attack, and the soldier was wounded, and she opened the door of the car to save the soldier, and the terrorist shoot her.
Yeah, but that's Shechicha Hezeka. That is the place. You have the famous story in the Gemara.
In Israel, not in Shechem.
So?
Don't remember.
Is that interesting? But the Gemara tells a story at the end of Chulin. There's a famous Gemara that caused Elisha ben Avuya to become a non-believer. That Elisha ben Avuya saw the way a father told his kid, go up on the tree, send away the mother bird, and take the eggs, and bring them back down. So the kid did two mitzvahs, that the Torah says you're going to live long. Kibud av v'eim, the Torah says, l'man yarichun yamechot, that you're going to live long. And then there was the second mitzvah, shuluach hakan, sending away the mother bird before you take the eggs. The Torah also says that you're going to live long. And the kid, on the way down, fell off the tree and died. So Elisha ben Avuya said, what's coming off over here? What type of Torah is this? The kid did two mitzvahs, the Torah testified you live long, and the guy died on the spot. So the Gemara says, his mistake was, it doesn't necessarily mean where you are in this world, it could mean in the world to come. You could live long in the world to come. But anyway, coming back here, Yeah, but that was Shechir HaZekim, there's terrorist attacks.
It is not about the war, that this war and the next war. Shechir HaZekim, you see that somebody was hurt, and you
I can't answer the question why Hashem said, but the fact is, Shluchu Mitzvah, Einu Nizak. Whatever the reason is, I don't know. That's only Hashem's business. Okay, so the Pasuk finishes off. Vayishlochel mi'emek Chevron. He sent him from the valley of Chevron. Simply, that's what it means. Vayav Shechem, and he came to the city of Shechem. Now, Vayishlochel mi'emek Chevron, the Malbim says, what does it mean he sent him? That Yaakov accompanied him. Yaakov accompanied him to go. Another, why does it say that he sent him from Chevron? Because they want to say that Shechem is far from Chevron. So once they say the brothers took care of the sheep, but they didn't go close by. They went far, far away. And that's what worried Yaakov. Another thing Rashi says, that what does it mean, Me'emek Chevron, from the depth of the Eitzah of the one that was buried in Chevron. What does it mean? Avraham Avinu at the covenant was told that the Jews are going to be slaves in Egypt. Yosef being sold as a slave began the entering into Egypt, so to speak. So he sent the Me'emek Chevron from the one who's buried in the depth of Chevron, meaning Avraham Avinu, who was told by Hashem that the Jews are going to be slaves for 400 years. So little did Yaakov know that he was starting to do it. The Zohar learned, they bring down over here, it wasn't mean by Yishlochel Me'emek Chevron, before, that before Yaakov sent Yosef on his mission, he took him to Avraham Avinu's grave. Took him to the Rebbe's grave. Get a bracha before you go on the mission. So Yaakov Avinu sent him Me'emek Chevron. The Zohar says he took him from Maariv Machpelah. He took him to Maariv Machpelah to get a bracha. Now other Mefarshim learn in this whole concept. They ask a question. Yaakov Avinu obviously was a very smart man. He knew the brothers hated him. He knew the brothers hated Yosef. Why did he send Yosef to the brothers? And the answer is, as you see, when God wants something to happen, that's what happens. So Hashem planted in Yaakov Avinu's head, even though logically it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. He could have sent servants, he could have sent at least people with Yosef, to send Yosef alone to the brothers, when Yaakov knew well, he was a father, he knew and understood what was going on, that the children hated him, the brothers hated Yosef, why did he send them anyway? So it's like they say, when God wants to do something, that's it, there's nothing you can do about it. Right, Meshiv Chacham Memacher, as the Gemara says. Yeah. There's a lot troubling, but anyway, yeah. In other words, if Cain could kill Hevel, why can't we kill our brother? Now I'm justifying your question. I'm strengthening your question. I'm not.
Cain was a tzaddik.
The first kids born in the world had to be tzaddik.
Cain was.
I'm sure he was.
Because
in the Nachash, in the chat, Cain was a great person. All the Malishan's kids. They had a great father, great mother. The kids had to be great. Okay? Cain kills Hevel. Avram Avinu's father throws him into a burning fire, right? Esav and Yaakov started already fighting from the stomach.
We know that
Yaakov's brother. He was a twin. Yitzchak's child. The answer is over here, like we learned, number one, it was a jealousy in a positive vein. Kinnis Sofrim, jealousy for good deeds, adds wisdom, the Gemara says. The brothers did not have jealousy in a negative way. They felt that Yosef was a greater person, and maybe they strive to emulate him, to follow him. In addition to that, Rashi says, you see from them, that they didn't say one thing in the heart and one thing in the mouth. What they felt is what they said. They believed it.
This is a jealousy because it enables to throw somebody in the pit with a kravim and the hashim.
Yeah, it's better than killing the guy. But then he was supposed to get killed.
Yeah, but this is positive jealousy. You call this positive jealousy?
Yeah, they were supposed to kill him. So instead of killing him, halachically.
But you know, it's also freedom of choice. It proves that nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes, no matter what level we're at. But you know what? Tzadikim make mistakes. They make
mistakes.
Sure they do. They understood.
No.
They understood.
My fight with her.
No, they understood that Yosef was a tattletaler.
Have to go home. Just take it off.
Yosef's the best in heart against his brother. So why? How can his brothers like him? First of all, he was always like favored by the father.
Okay, let's stop this whole thing. Let's go back to the reality of it. Okay. Let's speak reality. The outcome was good or bad? Great, not good. The outcome of the whole story was phenomenally great. Yosef became a ruler. The end justifies the means. Okay? When Hashem wants something to happen, we became a nation of greatness because we were through Egypt. What made the Jews the great nation we are today was the fact that we went into Egypt. Now, a chacham, there's a person who deals only with the now, and then you have a person that sees a full picture. Okay? Reyes and Naila sees the future. A chacham doesn't look at the temporary. Because a lot of times in a temporary thing, you lose, but when you see the whole picture and you know the ultimate end, so this loss now is justified by the end result. Correct? I mean, when you have a broad picture of something, so even though you lose the battle, but sometimes you have to lose the battle to win the war. Correct? You agree with that statement? Yeah. Because you don't say no, so I guess you agree. Now, when you look at the picture from beginning to end, okay, granted, the brothers sold Yosef as a slave, they were punished later on historically, the 10 martyrs that were killed in the time of the Beis HaMikdash were tortured to death because the 10 brothers sold Yosef into slavery, all that is part of it. But in the master scheme of events, not of the individual person, of the master major scheme of events, this event that took place. Because if you think about it, it didn't make sense for Yaakov to send Yosef. It didn't make sense for him to send him. He knew the brothers hated him. He's not a fool. He's a very smart tzaddik. But just physically, he's very intelligent. He understands. You don't send your brother, your kid, especially the one you love the most, to a lion's den when you know the brother's going to bound to hurt him. One second. But obviously, this happened. It happened. And we're going to learn a similar story later on with Yehuda and Tamar. What do you think? He was just looking for prostitutes. There's a whole Indian going on that we'll learn in one second of what went on with Yehuda and Tamar, why that had to happen.
He was taking pictures.
But this is in order for Mashiach to be born. Destroyed Yud and Tamar had to happen. Because if Yud and Tamar didn't happen, Mashiach wouldn't be here. David HaMelech wouldn't be here, Mashiach wouldn't be here, nothing would be here. So there is the general overall picture. What this teaches us, by the way, and I'll tell you what we learn from this, okay? What we learn from this is when things happen that seem to be awful and terrible, and how did this guy do this to me? And how did this person do this to me? Okay? We learn from here not to be narrow-minded, to look at the narrow picture of what's going on now. You have to look in the general scheme of things and understand that God is doing this because this is part of a master plan. The master plan was to get Yosef by hook or by crook into Egypt. And the Gemara says that Yaakov and his children should have gone down to Egypt, Bishal Shaloy Shal Barza, with metal chains of slavery. They should have gone down. But because all this happened, instead of Yaakov being chained down to Egypt in slavery, he went down like a mensch, in royalty. Instead, so what is the lesson? The lesson is we shouldn't be narrow-minded to look at negativity, to think it's only negative. We should look at it as a general, overall picture of the world. So if we're not able to look, we shouldn't complain at least about the narrow-mindedness. What?
There are two things here. You have Jacob.
Let's call him Yaakov.
Yaakov sent Yosef to his brother, knowing the master plan somewhere. And yet he's warning him. So this is a very contradictory point. Warning him, he's getting upset with his children, almost all his life mourning his favorite son, knowing that he's sending him to the mouth of the wolf. Okay? Second, what's the difference? This is my personal question.
I'm going to ask you, let me answer this question first.
Okay.
When somebody passes away, for the person who passed away, is it good or bad?
Bad.
The neshama is out of the gullus of the body.
Ultimately good.
But it's immediately good. The neshama is out of jail.
Depends where she's going to go.
They all end up in the good place.
We hope.
They all do. After a while. The question is only how much time. Now, basically the neshama to pass away, it's called Hilula. Mm-hmm. Hilula means a wedding. Mm-hmm. The word Hilula does not mean a yartzeit. Hilula means a wedding, a chasana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if for the neshama, okay, I'll give you a simple example. When the tzaddik passes away, for the tzaddik is good?
Yeah.
For sure. Why do the people that are alive mourn? But for the tzaddik, if that's all you care about, the tzaddik is going good.
We don't know when he's going to go.
Because there's two issues over here.
Surprise.
Yaakov Avinu mourned because he lost Yosef. But the fact was it was good. It's not a contradiction. It was good for the Jews. At the same time, like you said, he's mourning the separation. When a parent sends away a kid to school, it's good. The parent, especially the mothers, cry sometimes because of the separation. Correct? But is it good or is it bad? It's good, but there's temporary pain, sadness. Yaakov mourned separation from Yosef, but ultimately it's a good.
Because we know that he's We know that he became...
Because we learned this already.
Exactly, because we know.
You know the story about the old lady or the man, whatever it was. He learned the Chumash, and he got very, very angry. He said, didn't Yosef remember the story of last year what happened, and he had to do the same thing again?
Every year
he didn't learn from last year. Every year he does the same thing. No. Every year he does the same thing again. But the point is, what we have to learn from this is very interesting. Number one, there is a jealousy which is good.
Mm-hmm.
there is a jealousy, which is good. Number two, to speak what you think and not to be a bluffer. Thirdly, that when you see something bad happening, you don't look at the narrow, immediately now picture. You have to be able to realize at least that there is an overall picture that Hashem is doing, and that is ultimately good. Now, it took him 22 years to see this good. Correct? But we live in the high communication, you know, the quick communication world, and we need instant gratification, and we want instant reward, and instant wealth. We want everything quick. And God says, you know something? I have time. I have a lot of chabzeit. I have time. There's a tomorrow now, there's a tomorrow next year, that's the 22 years. But, eventually, it's good. And as God says, trust in me. So if something happens to a person, that he's thrown into a pit, today, full of snakes and scorpions, not literally, but figuratively, you're thrown into a pit of snakes and scorpions, you know what? I think it happened already, and it turned out to be very, very good. And that's it.
You got ideas to get out from
it. Right. Get out of the pit. Be sold as a slave. Just get out of the pit.
Yeah.
Okay. And a man found him. In Isaiah Basada. Yosef was wandering in the field. What happened basically, Yosef comes to Shechem and the brothers are not there. As Usuman, they moved out. Okay? So the man, who was the man, Rashi says, who was the man? Gavriel. Okay? Now, the Ramban says, what's Gavriel doing there? Hashem sent him to make sure that Yosef went where he had to go. Because, just think about it. If you stop to think for a minute, Yosef could have legitimately gone back home and said, Father, they're not there, I don't know what to do.
They have not though.
They didn't have cell phones, they didn't even have fax machines, they didn't have nothing. But nevertheless, Yosef went to the Shlichas, okay? In fact, he says an interesting thing over here. The Chayra, that's a good question. If God wanted Yosef to end up in Egypt, Hashem could have done the story much differently. He could have made the story that Yosef is fucking going to the brothers, and the Midianites would capture him, and sell him as a slave, and he'll end up in Egypt. Why did God get the brothers involved? The answer is because then we would have bigger complaints to God. How is God making a family suffer so much? But here God is showing us the suffering came from the family itself, because of the family itself. In other words, Hashem wanted it to happen the way it happened. And this is the best way.
Did they give him the way to do tshuva?
Because you know what other lesson we learned, and we spoke about this not long ago on Shabbos? If the brothers didn't sell Yosef as a slave, and Yosef would have ended up in Egypt, and the brothers would have ended up in Egypt, and Yosef would have taken care of the brothers, that would be one way of... Here is a different, a much deeper lesson. The brothers wanted to kill Yosef. The brothers threw Yosef into the pit. And yet, when the brothers were in Egypt, Yosef took care of them beautifully. Which teaches us such an important lesson, Hagoyma lachayavim teves, to do kindness to those people that hurt you. If the brothers didn't sell Yosef as a slave, and Yosef was nice to the brothers, we wouldn't learn that lesson. So God does makes things happen, that the brother should be the one that told Yosef. That when Yosef takes care of the brothers, we learn out a lesson, a vital lesson, that even people that want to kill you and throw you into a pit with snakes and scorpions, and nevertheless, you repay them with goodness. Why? Why? Because if you understand that this that happened to you is coming from God, so it's all for the good. So if it's all for the good, the ones that messed me up, I have to take care of. The ones that messed me up, that's the one I have to take care of. If Yosef's brother, if Yosef would have been walking here, and the Midianites or the Yishmaelim would have found him and sold him as a slave, we wouldn't learn that lesson. What?
What about what happened to them when they were going through the process of finding out that the Master of God sent back what was the father suffered?
But that was only to make sure that they regretted what they did.
But that's pretty incredulous experience to go through also.
No. Yosef had to test them, and that's why as soon as Yosef saw that the brothers really repented, he said, I'm Yosef. No. Yeah. Just to make sure that they're going to do tshuva. There's a famous story, I mentioned this when I spoke about this. The problem is a lot of you people don't come here on Shabbos, they can't help them. There's a story with the Rebbe Rashab. There's a story with the Rebbe Rashab when he first became Rebbe. I didn't complain. I didn't say it as a complaint. Even though there are people that are still in walking distance and don't come. But that's not the issue. Now, there's a story of the Rebbe Rashab when he first became Rebbe. He was a young man. And a chassid came into him and said, Rebbe, I need a bracha. I'm in a terrible dilemma. I need a bracha. It was a very problematic thing. And the Rebbe Rashab looks at him and says, I'm sorry, sir, I can't help you. So the chassid went out and he was crying. And the Rebbe Rashab had an older brother whose name was Reb Zalman Aaron, the Razor they called him, Reb Zalman Aaron. And he sees his chassid coming out of his younger brother crying. And he says to him, what happened? Why are you crying? He said, I went into the Rebbe, your brother, and I asked him for a bracha, and he says, I can't help you. So the Razor was the older brother. He said, what type of shtick is this? He goes into his younger brother, and he said to him, what's it does? What is this? A Jew comes and asks for a bracha, you tell him I can't help you? He said, even if you can, tell him a nice word at least. What, are you throwing him out like a dog, so to speak? He's just throwing him out. So the Rebbe Rashab says, okay. He put on his hat again. He told him, let the chassid come back in. The chassid came back in. The Rebbe Rashab gave him a bracha, and it worked, and it helped. That's the story. So the Rebbe asks him the story, a very simple question. All of a sudden he can help him. What changed between before and now? The Rebbe didn't change. If he couldn't help him before, why could he help him now? So the Rebbe explained very simple. When this chassid came in for a bracha, the Rebbe saw he wasn't a vessel for it yet. He had to make him into a vessel. And as the Rebbe says in Tanya, sometimes if you're too thick, you got to break it. So what the Rebbe Rashab did by telling the chassid, I can't help you, that the chassid started going out to cry, that made him a vessel. Then when he came back in to get the bracha, the Rebbe Rashab at that time was able to give him a bracha. Then there's certain times things have to happen for the person to be able to come become the vessel. Otherwise, you're not a vessel. If you're not a vessel, it doesn't work. So Yosef had to make sure that the brothers did tshuva to see their regret and remorse. So he did that initially by making go back and forth, putting the goblet in the cup and the food and the money and all that. Why? Not, God forbid, Yosef wanted to get back at them. Because if Yosef wanted to get back at them, you didn't have to help them later. Especially after Yaakov died. Maybe he had respect for his father, but after Yaakov died, he could have said, okay, get out of here. Do you remember what you did to me? Most of us would have been that way, yeah. But Yaakov, Yosef wasn't, because Yosef was a tzaddik. So after he saw that the brothers became the vessel for him to reveal himself to them, to say, Ani Yosef, he had to make sure that happened.
Also, don't you think that by him seeing that his dream came true, that Hashem was with him, that...
That's how Yosef knew.
Well,
that was the punchline, that he knew, and the brothers knew that. That's how the brothers eventually realized, hey, this is exactly the story. The story of what happened. Right. It was really true. But what we have to learn from this, coming back to answer your original question, what we learn from this is, when something bad happens initially, we shouldn't be narrow-minded to freak out and say, oh, look at this terrible thing that's happening. If it's from God, it's going to be good. Be patient. Wait a while. Stick around for a while. Don't go into retirement. Stick around for a while and you'll see that it's great. Okay. Now, v'imsa'eyu ish, a man found what?
This story now may give me an answer, a great answer.
V'imsa'eyu ish, A man found him, and who is this man? Gavriel. And he was wandering in the field. Yosef was wandering in the field. As the Radak says, he came into the Shechem, the brothers weren't there. Now, as the Rashbam and Ramban say, this story is to Yosef's credit. Because Yosef could have gone home and said, I did my job, you know, they're not here. Nevertheless, he did it to show that Divine Providence is going on, and he has to do it. He was lost in the mitzvah. Okay, so he says to him, Mat Tevakish, what are you looking for? He saw this kid wandering in the field, and he says, what are you looking for? So obviously the Mefarshim ask, didn't the angel know? The answer is, he had to open up a conversation, like Hashem with Ayaka with Kai. Okay. Now, I once said an interesting part over here. In Vayishlach, before Vayishlach, when Yaakov was alone, and it says over there, Vayavik Ish Imei, Ish, a man fought with him. And Rashi says, who is that man? The angel of Esav. Here it also says the same word, Ish, man. And Rashi, who's the man here? Gavriel. Why Ish over there is a bad angel, and Ish over here is a good angel? So the answer is very simple. If you go by the context, it's a remarkable concept. Before Yaakov was alone, also alone. And a person comes and starts fighting with him, you know, right away, it has to be Esav. A Jew is lost. Yaakov, so to speak, was also lost, all alone, right, on the other side. A Jew is lost. You start fighting with him. Who is it? It's Esav. Over here, there's a Jewish kid lost, and somebody comes and says, what are you seeking? What are you looking for? Can I help you? And then in a spiritual sense, you see a Jewish kid in a field. Sada is, as it says in the Pasuk before, Esav was Ish Sada. Yaakov was Ish Tam. Sada, Chassidus explains, doesn't symbolize a city where there's civilization, where people live. Sada refers to Esav. Esav was a man of the field. And many times a Jewish kid gets lost in a field. So rather than just letting the kid ignore the kid, there's an unbelievable lesson over here. You see a Jewish kid lost, spiritually I'm talking. You see a Jewish kid lost, you come to him and say, can I help you? What are you looking for? Help out the person to find himself. What did Yosef answer him? By Yemen, he said, I'm looking for my brothers. So the Mefarshim say, you can imagine, if you lost somebody, a guy comes to you, what are you looking? I'm looking for my brother. Who's your brothers? Yosef didn't say, hey, he's my brothers. Who are my brothers? Who's his brothers? Why? So either Yosef understood, there's two ways of learning here. Either Yosef understood it's an angel, and if it's an angel, Yosef understood, he's not asking me to know who my brothers are, he knows. Or another interpretation is, that Yaitsev assumed that the guy knew. Why? Because the brothers took over Shechem. This is right outside Shechem. So obviously the brothers would go back and forth to Shechem. So everybody knew who they were. Everybody knew who the brothers, the famous brothers were. So Yosef didn't have to say who they were. A deeper interpretation is looking, I'm looking for my Yiddishkeit, I'm looking for my brothers. And he said, well, hey, tell me please where they are. Okay, Vayomer Ish, so the man said, Nasil Mizah, they traveled away from here. So the simple meaning is, you have nothing to look here for because they left. But another a deeper interpretation, Nasil Mizah, you said you're looking for your brothers. Esachaya Nechim Evakish, I'm looking for my brothers. They said to him, Nasil Mizah, he left the unity. The brothers left the unity. You're looking for your brothers, they're not acting like your brothers anymore. That's what the Malach told him. And he says, Ki shamaiti aminim, because I heard them talking, so to speak, I heard them, or other people talking, that they're going to the city of Dosan. In other words, the Malach thanked them, I didn't see them go to Dosan, but I heard that they're going to Dosan. Okay? Now, what does Nelchadesana mean? So, some of Farshim learn that Daisan comes from the word Das, judgment, law. That the brothers went to judge you, to kill you. Like we said before, the brothers established the Beis Din, that Yosef has to get killed. So they said, we heard that he's going to Dyson, meaning they're going to judge that you should get killed. Huh? Michli Dasis. Huh? Various vessels to kill you. Okay. Vayel lechetsev acher echov. So Yosef went after the brothers, he found them in Dosan, exactly as the person said. Now, the Reb Chaim explains that Yosef did not know that the guy was a malach, because he understood the guy was a malach. The question is, if the malach said, no, that they left the brotherhood and they want to kill you, so why in the world did Yosef go? He wouldn't be allowed to go. So obviously the Mefarshim explained very simple. The Malach said something that could mean two things. It could mean simply they went to Dyson, and in the deeper meaning it meant they went to kill you. But Yosef only heard they went to Dyson. He didn't understand the in-depth meaning of it, that they wanted to kill him. So Yosef said, okay, then he went to Dyson. And Yitzhak found him in Dyson. Okay. So they saw him from the distance, and the Rabbah explains, how did they see him from the distance? They had this multicolored garment, so it stuck out, so they're able to see him, recognize him right away. So when they saw him from the distance, before Yosef came even close to them, they conspired against him to kill him. So obviously this is according to the opinion that it was a garment on the outside. Right. Okay. Now, Vayisnaklo Eisei Lamisei, the Torah writes, what do you mean they are from the distance they already planned to kill him. They were shooting arrows at him already to kill him. That they shouldn't directly kill him, indirectly should get killed, so to speak. They were shooting arrows at him, so they would not have to shed his blood with their own hands. Secondly, they said that they got the sheepdogs against him, And then the Rabban says, when they saw that all these things didn't happen, so they said, okay, we got to kill him ourselves. But they already saw that the plan is not working as scheduled. You know, Hashem has a different idea over here. Now, so it says, why did they send dogs to kill him, the sheep dogs? Why? Because he quotes, the Gemara says, that somebody who speaks Lashon Hara is worthy of being thrown to the dogs, the Gemara says. So because they said Yosef spoke Lashon Hara, so they said, you know what, let's throw him to the dogs. And again, what did they say? Let it be in the hand of God.
Yeah, but if they say the dog doesn't touch him, and the arrow doesn't touch him, they have to say that this is not worth to kill it.
Rabbi, this lady's going to rewrite the Chumash.
She did it already.
I promise.
Why?
He's not the first.
The brothers maintain, by the way, and the Mefarshim say this, that the brothers maintain that Yosef was coming to them again to give bad reports to the father. That either that they should get killed for committing sins. And there's a rule, if somebody comes to kill you, kill him first. So the Abana Hargachash came Bahardi. So the brother said, besides what we learned before, Yosef had a din of a snitcher and all that in the brother's mind, the brother said, he's coming to kill us, to get us killed, so let's kill him first. That's what the brothers maintain. Vayayimru Ishalachiv. So one man said to his brother, and the Pasuk doesn't say who it was, but the Zayin and Rashi later on in Chumash says it was Shimon said to Levi. Why? Because Reuven wanted to save him. The younger brothers are not going to speak in the presence of the older brothers. Bilhah and Zilpah's kids were very friendly with Yosef. So who is the only person, Ish El Achiv, and by the way, also in Chumash before, Shnei B'nei Yaakov, Ish Charvei, Achedina, who were known as the brothers, you know, the famous brothers were Shimon and Levi. So Shimon and Levi said, Shimon said to Levi, basically, Hinei balach alemis and lezeba, look at this, dreamer is coming. The dreamer is coming. And he says, what does it mean? He's coming to tell us more dreams. That's what the brother said. Why is he coming to us now? Every time Yosef talked to the brothers about dreams. So they said, look, the dreamer is coming. He's going to come to tell us some more dreams. So he said, V'ata now, L'chuv v'nargehu, let's kill him. V'nashlichehu b'achar abeiris, we'll throw him into one of the pits. V'amanu motel chayero chalosu, a wild beast, ate him. V'nira, and we'll see, what will be from his dreams. So Rashi says the brothers couldn't say that, because if they killed him, there are no dreams. You can't say, let's see what's going to be with his dreams if he's dead. So Rashi learns God, the Ruach HaKodesh, said this. The brothers said, let's kill him and throw him into the pit, and Hashem said, let's see what's going to happen to his dreams. In other words, the dreams are anyway going to happen. But they wanted to kill him in self-defense. The brothers said, let's kill him in self-defense. Okay, let's tell him, Chayera chalasu, and a wild beast killed him. Why? Because then the brothers wouldn't be guilty. If they come home to Yaakov and they say, Yaakov, look what we found, like they did. You know, we found this coat, the wild beast hit him. So Yaakov couldn't curse them, Yaakov couldn't do anything to them. So therefore, this is what they did. Now, the Abarbanel says an interesting thing. The brothers were very smart. They took this expensive Xenis Pastim, this coat, and they put it into blood, right, into goat's blood, and they brought it home. Now, what did they want to prove by this? If it was a person that killed them, he would have for sure taken the coat, because it was an expensive coat, right? It was a very expensive coat. So the fact that there was no robbery and the coat is still there, it must be a wild beast killed him. And that's why the brothers did it exactly the way they did. They didn't do it a different way. They brought him, Yaakov Avinu, this is all pre-planned. As we call in legal terms, the premeditated murder. Mamash, a point that Yaakov, the brother, said, and he said, we'll throw him into one of the pits, and let's see what happens with his dreams. Right. They were smart people. But there's one more thing before we finish. And that is, the Ramban learns what the brothers basically said, and it's a much different perspective. The brother said, let's throw him into a pit, and let's see what will become of his dreams. What does this mean? Let God handle it. Let's see how God will run the show. The poor Reuven didn't let him be killed. But the brother was ready to kill him, throw him into a pit, and see, let's say,